Amen. So it's the new year, which means it's new year sermon time. And some of you are looking forward to it. Maybe some of you are dreading it. I don't know. But it's time to crunch the numbers, review what we achieved last year, and then what we're hoping to achieve this year. Look at our plans for the year. So 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8 said this. 1 Corinthians 3, 8 said, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And the title of my sermon this morning is Labouring with God in 2025. Labouring with God in 2025. I'd like to pray before we get going with the message. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the last year that we've had as a church, Lord. We pray that you bless us with this year to come, Lord. And just help us keep working with you, Lord. Help us to just keep serving you, to put you know, the things of God, you know, the sort of top of our priority list, Lord. Help us to all with this year to try and do that. Lord, please bless me as I preach this message and fill me with your spirit as I do that, please, Lord, and help everyone to just have attentive ears and to want to get on board with our goals as a church here. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so we're in 1 Corinthians 3 because I really want to impress upon everyone here how important our church goals are, okay, our church goals. All over the world at this time, people are thinking about the personal year that they've had, the personal year that maybe they have ahead, okay? And it's not that personal goals and achievements are bad, but we have to put things into perspective in life. And we regularly have to do that, don't we? Because we so often just get pulled into our own personal goals, our own personal sort of things and thoughts and feelings and our own life, basically. But our church goals aren't just for me as a pastor, okay? They're not just for maybe an elite few here. The church's goals and achievements should be up here in importance, shouldn't they? For everyone that's a member of this church, shouldn't they? So everyone who's a member of this church, this body of Christ, where we come together as different body parts as a body of Christ, the goals of your church should be up here in importance for you. Okay? They if you're saved, obviously, look, if you're saved, the first thing anyone should do who's saved should be to find a decent church to be a member of and help that church to achieve things for God. Why? Because verse 9 said here, "For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So the reason being, because we're working together with God, and the real work is going on in the legitimate New Testament church, isn't it? That's what the church is about. It's about doing real work for God. Yeah, as you're going to be reminded of as we look at the year we've just had, this is his husbandry, or maybe we would say his farming business, okay? We hear of God's building, it said here in verse 9 as well. And he's got some pretty important work for us to do as well, okay? It's important work, more important than your waistline over 2025. For those that have decided that that's their goal for the year, whether it's, you know, maybe more important than you being more assertive this year. You know, some people make these sort of goals. This year I'm going to be more assertive, or maybe I'll be less assertive, or I don't know, more important than your savings. Did you know that? More important than your savings, more important than your financial situation, more important than any of your personal goals is the work of God. It's more important. God's work is more important than all of that stuff. Okay, and we need to remember that. And if you're sitting there and you've already started making your New Year's resolutions and stuff, I'm not saying that's bad stuff, but you've got to remember that God's goals, God's work is more important than any of that because it has eternal consequences. But we as Christians need to regularly quench that selfishness and focus on the bigger picture because it is something, you know, that we do regularly do. We quench the spirit, don't we? And then we allow the selfishness to take hold and it's just all about us and what can we achieve and our personal things. And again, I'm not saying it's all bad stuff, but God's goals have to be up here in comparison. Okay, the work of God should be up there. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said this. We're going to look from verse 1. Paul said this in verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So he said that they're still not getting the spiritual things because they're babes in Christ, okay? This church as a whole, he's talking to them as a group, are babes in Christ. They're not able to step up to the meat, okay? And they're not able to step up to any meat. So forget the prime sort of ribeye steak. I don't think they can even digest a bit of mashed up old chicken nugget or something. You know, they're not able to take it yet. They still need the milk. Why? Because they're still too carnal. They're still too focused on carnal things. Verse 3 says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? So envying each other is a carnal thing. That's babe in Christ stuff. You're still looking around the church going, oh, if, you know, if only I had what they had. And or, you know, and you're getting that envy for people. The strife is all just this kind of just petty strife. You're still carnal. You're a babe. Yeah, the divisions. If you like, you've got little divisions for me. Oh, I don't talk to that one. I'll deal with that one. You know, like that's all carnal stuff, right? We need to get that stuff out of our lives. That's babe in Christ stuff. Okay, look at what they're divided over, these guys. It says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So they're divided over whether they're disciples of Paul or Apollos. And you know what it makes me think of when I see this? It makes me think of these online blowhards. Okay, and there's a lot of online blowhards. If you ever watch a video or watch a sermon, watch a podcast, something, you know, the temptation is to look at comments, isn't it? And what you see, a load of online blowhards, these carnal babes in Christ that row about pastors whose churches they've probably never been to in their life. Like they might have visited there once, and it's like now they're qualified to row about. It's like you're not even at the church. It's got nothing to do with you. But it's carnal, isn't it? It's babe in Christ stuff. At least the Corinthians actually attended a church planted by Paul and had been physically taught and knew personally Apollos too. Yeah. But they were still carnal babes because they were focusing on the men. They were focusing on the man. They were focusing on the preacher instead of on God. Verse 5 says, and this is Paul speaking, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. It all comes from God. Give him the glory, not men. And do you know who the worst haters in the world are? And this is like throughout, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but obviously in the online world, we see this a lot more. Do you know who they are? It's usually the worst idolatrous man worshippers then become the worst haters of whoever it is that they put on a pedestal in their life. And so half the time, they're just unsaved, you know, devils anyway, right? That have just got their latest idol in life for a while and then they hate them. But point being that we just need to move away from all that stuff. Idolatry, idolizing men, whether they're preachers, whether they're other people in life, in other areas, past, whatever, right? Get away from all that. Give God the glory, right? Give God the glory. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Yeah, Paul did some great stuff, right? He's a great man of God. Apollos was a great man of God, a mighty Apollos, but it was God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. So whether you're preaching the gospel, getting people saved, training up disciples, or the many things that go hand in hand with that, if you're labouring for God, is what it's saying here, you will receive eternal rewards according to your own labour, according to the labour that you put in. But that work is still a team game though. So as much as, yeah, you'll receive the reward for the labour you put in, you're still working as part of a team though. Verse 9 says, for we are labourers together with God. Ye, plural, to the church, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation is faith in Christ. Okay, without that, your work is vain. It's in vain. It's pointless. It's a waste of time. You can work for God all your life. If you're not saved, your works of righteousness are as filthy rags. Okay? Useless, burn up. They're not doing anything. Without salvation, without faith in Christ, you ain't working for God. But after Christ, that foundation of Christ, God wants us all working, doesn't he? God has a lot of work for us to do. He said, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So he's saying basically that you can lay up eternal rewards, okay, depending on what sort of work it is. And I'm going to tell you some sorts of work that lay up eternal rewards, okay? Work that affects people's eternity. So there's some obvious stuff. Soul winning. Soul winning affects people's eternities. That's an obvious work, isn't it, that God wants every one of his children doing. Okay, the Great Commission is for all. Soul winning's an obvious one, but so is discipling, isn't it? Discipling converts, putting effort, putting time, putting work, putting effort into discipling someone that's got saved is a work that does affect people's eternities. If you can get someone soul winning, you've suddenly maximised that person, so much more than that one salvation. Now suddenly they're going to go on to multiply and get salvations as well. But how about, aside from that stuff, how about organising soul winning? That's a big work, isn't it? That's an important work. And the people around this church that have organised different soul winning events, soul winning time stuff, that is a work, and that's a work that, again, affects people's eternities. How about, and here's another one, how about, and I'm not just talking about myself, how about every person that's got behind this pulpit and provoked people through preaching to want to go soul winning, for starters? How about that? That's a work that's affected people's eternities, isn't it? If a message from behind this pulpit has made someone decide, yeah, actually, I'm not going to be lazy today, I'm going to go out there and get soul winning. No, actually, I'm going to make an effort. No, actually, I want to start to learn how to soul win. No, I'm going to go along as a silent partner. No, I'm going to do more soul winning, whatever it is. It affects people's, it's going to affect people's eternities. But then again, how about cleaning up lives due to preaching? Again, the men that get behind this pulpit and preach. It's not just about, well, how am I going to look on YouTube? You know, getting behind a pulpit, you might have a message that someone needs to hear that cleans up their life a little bit. Maybe you preach on a sin that they get out of their life, and it means they go on to be more productive as a child of God. Knock-on effect, more salvations, eternal differences. Cleaning up lives, strengthening faith, building doctrine through preaching, it all eventually, the knock-on effect is people's eternities. How about all of the other jobs that go into those church services? Because we don't just turn up here and preach and that's it. And there's a lot that goes into just being able to do that. There's a lot that goes into it. How about the music team? You know, we come here to praise the Lord. We're told to praise the Lord. We need people playing music. We need people song leading. Okay, that all goes into that all affects the church service, which eventually the knock-on effect is people's eternities. Because the product of this church is salvations. How about ushering? That's a job that, again, affects ultimately people's eternities through being a part of the church service. Bible reading, live streaming, doing the collection. You know, having people that you can, are honest, you can rely on to collect, to go and count it properly, to do all those things. Giving, people that just give, that come, and I'm not talking about tithing, that's something that you know, you shouldn't be getting rewarded for. That's something you just won't get cursed for not doing. But giving, you know, people give above and beyond often in various ways to this church. Again, that ultimately will affect people's eternities. Cleaning. This place needs cleaning. If this didn't get cleaned, and we have people every week coming in and cleaning this church, and if this place didn't get cleaned, we'd soon start losing people from the church, wouldn't we? People wouldn't want to come here. Again, what does it do? It affects people's eternities. How about just turning up to church? Turning up and someone else seeing you there and encouraging you to be there, encouraging you to be there next week, turning up, smiling, saying the right thing to someone, saying hello, being there to have a chat, being there, just being here in the service, it all affects people's eternities. And then that's aside from raising godly families. Again, you raise kids that go on to be soul winners. You encourage your wives to want to preach the gospel and get out of soul winners, etc. Again, it's all work that affects people's eternities. Praying. Bible reading, all of these things, right? So all these spiritual things are much more important than any of our personal goals. Now, I'll talk about personal goals later, but ultimately this stuff is the gold, the silver, the precious stones, isn't it? That's what this stuff is. He said, know ye not, verse 16, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And that works two ways, okay? Our individual bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, okay, for starters. If you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. I promise you, a temple of the Holy Ghost. But when we come together as the house of God too, we are built up together as lively stones. So we form that house of God, that temple of God. And again, with the Spirit amongst us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we have the Lord amongst us there as well. And this temple is here to do some work, okay? And when we come together as a collective, we get a lot more done, don't we? We just get a lot more done. I suppose it shouldn't work like that. You should look at it and go, well, if I didn't have to come to church, if I didn't have to preach sermons, if the guys here didn't have to do the ushering and maybe the live stream and didn't have to do all these things and get involved in a church service and make their way to church and everything else, they should have more time for soul winning, shouldn't they? They should have more time for their Bible reading, for preaching the gospel. But the reality of it is, do you know who the most productive people are? The people who are in church. And do you know who usually the most productive out of the church members are? Those that are 3 to 5 in church. And who are in the most services usually do the most outside of church as well. That's just the way it works, isn't it, right? And we do. We come together, we do a lot, right? And we're going to look at some of the things we as a church managed to do last year. Verse 9 said, where you are, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So I'm just going to just remind you some of the stuff that I've remembered as I kind of flick through some of the bulletins and stuff. And I'll probably miss a few things and a few events and stuff. But just to give you an idea of what happened last year. If you remember January, we had a tough start with whooping cough. Okay, it was a tough start to the year. We had our lowest attendances at the beginning of January, I think, than we'd ever had right at the beginning. So we'd had our New Year's Day service and so many people were still sick. It was pretty bad. But we managed to finish the month strong in the end. And then if you remember, we had a local marathon in Shoebury Ness, and we'd done some local area marathons and just hit a few areas around Shoebury Ness being just up the road. We ended up with 8 salvations in Shoebury Ness, which being just a local area, you know, wasn't bad, especially considering how much sickness we'd had all month. In February, we did the next of our UK cities with a Chelmsford marathon and 15 salvations in Chelmsford. And that was great. That was just a city up the road, you know, 40-odd minutes away. And we end up with 15 salvations up there. We had a good time up there, meal up there. March was a bit of a busy month. There was a ladies' outing for Mother's Day. We had the first of our homeschool trips as well, which is something that we're doing now, which we want to do, you know, regular homeschool trips for the homeschool kids here. We had an Erith marathon with 25 salvations. That was a nice spot, wasn't it? Erith ended up being a good location for us. Our Lord's Supper service we had, and then we also had Easter as well, all in March, right? So that was a busy month. April had a soul-winning marathon in Harold Hill with 17 salvations. May had a beginner's men's preaching night. We had a couple over the year. May we had, I think, the first one for a little while. And another homeschool trip and the Sheffield preaching and soul-winning event with 8 salvations. So although we only had 8 salvations up in Sheffield, we had a great turnout. We preached, preached a sermon up in Sheffield. I doubt they've been preaching like that for a while. Islam got smashed in there. But also, aside from that as well, we had a local guy get involved and he's been soul winning since, come and got baptized stuff. So that's Ryan, if anyone's wondering. And that was a great result from that. And on the back of that, there are people meeting regularly in Sheffield going soul winning, which is great, you know. And thank you for everyone that got involved with that, because it was a bit of a trip for people. We had a nice time, though. If you guys remember, we went to the zoo and ended up having a farm zoo thing, and people were holding tarantulas and snakes and things like that. Who maybe thought they would never have done that. But then once everyone else is doing it, you feel like, oh, I better do this again. And that was pretty cool. We then had in June a men's outing for Father's Day. And there was something else in June. Oh, that was it. It was a massive trip to Malawi. So we had our big Malawi trip, and that was a massive highlight of our year. Okay, with just 5 pairs of preachers, we managed to preach the gospel to approximately 2,000 teenagers in Malawi in different schools there. And just to make it clear, okay, for in the first year as an independent church, and to be able to do a missions trip was amazing, right? And that was just thanks to just faithful people, faithful members. You know, there's a lot that goes into a missions trip, and that was great. And the help with that, and the organisation of it, and just everything was amazing. We ended up with We ended up going to four different schools, and the class sizes varied from around 30 to 70 in each group that we preached to. And look, I don't know, you know, I know the people, talking to the people that preach those schools in general, you know, I was confident that well over 50% of the kids I preached to were getting saved. Everyone I spoke to afterwards seemed to have received the message, called on the name of the Lord and believed it. And I would say well over that. So you couldn't accurately give an amount. So all we say is, well, we preached to 2,000 kids in schools in Malawi, to very receptive children. We also preached a time-constrained gospel to the teachers in one of the school classrooms, where we had several minutes to preach to them, and then also to approximately 70 policemen in an early morning meeting at the nation's police headquarters, and it had some of the top police, representatives in the nation, in Lilongwe police department there, and that was great as well. We had our Bible Way to Heaven played on the most popular national radio station during three primetime slots as well. So we believe we really made a big difference in Malawi, and it was, I mean, that was a, obviously we built up to that over the year. That was a big part of our year. We also had 154 salvations from the soul winning. We held three church services on the Wednesday evening and on the Sunday, where we had 24 on the Wednesday, 22 and 32 in the services. And if you're thinking, well, that was a bit small with the church services, bear in mind we mainly focus on preaching to kids. And obviously kids from all these different schools around can't just suddenly up and make their way on their own to a service. But we still managed to get 24, 22 and 32 in the services, six baptisms, and some of the converts also come and experience soul winning. So it was a great result. We then finished that month nicely with an Erith Marathon, 24 salvations. We wanted somewhere definitely receptive after Malawi, so we didn't get too disappointed when we got back. July, we had another homeschool trip and a Dagenham Marathon with 27 salvations. August, we had our anniversary weekend, and that was a big weekend, wasn't it? And we had a few visitors over for that. We had, you know, and what happens with these anniversaries, often you just have, you know, all the people that come kind of from maybe one month to the next, or come every few months, or come once every fortnight or whatever, they all just come together. So we usually have a good turnout for that. We did soul winning in Deptford, southeast London. We had 34 salvations in August at that marathon. September, we had a baby shower, Amsterdam preaching soul winning event as well. And I know not many people were able to make it out there, but that was a great success. Managed to preach there and soul winning, 11 salvations. Get some people came and got involved who hadn't been, you know, involved soul winning there for a long time. So that was nice as well. We're in contact with a few people from there, which is nice as well. October was another baby shower and an Erith Marathon with 34 salvations. And then November was the next UK cities with Colchester and 19 salvations. December, we had our first kids' Christmas party and finished off with soul winning in Belvedere with 16 salvations. So added to that, we've had five babies born, new converts, new members. It's been a great year, hasn't it? Right? For me, this has surpassed any other year. We've got so much done this year, had so many positives. But let's look at the stats, okay? It's time to crunch the numbers. Right, did we reach our targets from last year? Well, target number one was 1,500 salvations. Could we get 1,500 people to basically put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in front of a soul winner from this church? And that included the soul winning times. Obviously, outside of those times as well, there have been personal salvations in people's day-to-day lives as well amongst that. And the 1,500 salvations did include then our, obviously we have two groups abroad that are part of our church as well. And we managed to get 1,520 salvations total, which is great, right? And what a number. And like I said, that's not counting 2,000 kids preached to in Malawi, and the police and the teachers there as well. So that number's made up of 1,019 from the UK church, which again exceeds anything we've ever got here as a church. 345 from Pretoria and 155 in Lausanne, Switzerland. And they're both relatively small groups. And by the way, I spoke to Pierre yesterday. He said to me, like, they're so pleased. Basically, that's the best year by far they've ever had, having had a year as part of our church in terms of the salvations, people coming, the baptisms as well that I've gone and done out there as well. Like I said, it's not counted the 2,000 preacher in Lilongwe. And just to put it in context, we just made it at 1,000 last year total, with 243 of those coming from our overseas groups. So we've just as our church alone, without those overseas groups, we've added on another 260 odd salvations to that as well. And then those groups have done great this year as well. And you know, the guys out in Pretoria, they've just had a bit of trouble going out the last couple of weeks, but they're 345 salvations for what is a small group they're going out as well is amazing as well, okay? So all those groups have done great, as have all of our soul winning times here. So I just want to give just a shout to everyone, because the thing with this is obviously, look, ultimately it's God that giveth the increase. But we have worked with God, haven't we? And many people in this church, soul winners and organisers as well. Alex in Mitcham on a Monday, we've added that Mitcham time, which has been a great time. And it's been great for those that are over that side of London that have find it hard to get to the midweek soul winning and the other times, to be able to meet up in a place like Mitcham to go out on a Monday night. And they've had a lot of salvations down in Mitcham. Dan over in Basildon, just every Tuesday, you know, that's just been a consistent time. Lots of salvations coming out of Basildon still. Everyone that's been making the effort to make the Wednesdays and be able to come early on a Wednesday evening before a church service and go out and preach the gospel in Southend. Again, that's been great to have everyone that's been a part of that. Hoona in Tilbury. Again, just a great consistent time there. Tilbury, we say it's probably the most righteous place in the whole of the UK. We've been getting people saved in Tilbury for a few years now. We've done marathons there. And they go every Thursday. They're regularly now coming across people that have been reached in the past by our church, talking to people that are saved there. And that's been a great place. And again, you know, everyone that's been making that and the organising for that has been great as well. And then Neil down in Exeter, those guys are going out regularly. Neil sometimes goes with church, because there's like a three of them that are regularly soul winning. Sometimes you'll go with one and then meet up with the other guy afterwards. So he does like a long period of soul winning often there. They're regularly getting out there. They've been getting some good salvations there. And then Gazer up in Sheffield has been soul winning up there regularly on Sundays. And again, they've been adding quite a few salvations now from up in Sheffield as well. So that organising, you know, you might think, well, is it too hard? You just do a few maps. You know what? It's not just doing the maps. It's just week in, week out. It's not, well, I don't fancy it today. It's like, it doesn't matter whether you fancy it or not. You're running a soul-winning time, so in general, you're going to be there, right? And that is hard, you know. And then on top of that, we've had what was Dan earlier in the year and Junior after that on a Sunday here as well. And, you know, when other people are off down the calf and kebab shops and chicken shops and cake shops and or sitting here eating food and relaxing with their family and having a nice break in between services. You know, there's Junior now and Andre sometimes another usher, but often Andre's helping as well. And to pair people up, to sort out maps, to get it planned, to get the maps back. That's all work, right? And without all that work, without all that planning, without all that organising from all those different people, and that's not to mention, obviously, out in Switzerland, Pierre, who's also preaching and basically running like a mini church, really, there, but they're not quite at that stage yet, but they're a soul-winning group that are preaching there, where there's not really preaching in French around. And then also, you know, Nick over in South Africa as well, he's just week in, week out, just ploughing on, plodding away and preaching the gospel. You know, that we couldn't do it without. We couldn't get anywhere near these numbers without those organisers. So thank you, everyone, with that. And obviously, look, yeah, it ultimately God gives the increase. But you know what? God will be giving some increase to each of those people as well, because they're putting time and effort in that often goes unnoticed. All of those people organising those soul-winning times. But then also everyone that's just been a part of it. Everyone that's come and got involved in the soul winning, God's blessed you for. God will bless you for that, okay? And God sees it all. God's got the tally, okay? And it's one day when you're up there, you see, yeah, actually, God saw all that work, right? All those times when I didn't feel right, I didn't feel quite up for it. I could have done with a sleep and rest. I could have done with not doing much, and I turned up to soul winning. And everyone that's done that turned up to the marathons that we. You know what? I didn't think that we'd be able to keep going with a marathon every month. I just thought eventually this is probably going to peter out and people will stop turning up to them, and then we might have to reduce them a bit. I was wrong. We're still running a marathon every month out of this church. And I know not everyone can make every single one, but you know what? We have enough people making them to still make them worth it. A marathon a month is great. You know, and that's pretty rare to have a marathon a month for most people to just be turning out every single month. Last Saturday of the month, they're going on a marathon or basically what is a marathon just condensed into 4 hours on an afternoon event where we just preach the gospel. And again, like, praise God for all just zealous soul winners at this church, putting the time in, putting the effort in. And like I said earlier, everything that's gone into the service is for everyone to then be sent out. So all the different jobs, everything that goes into this place being a functioning church and everything that goes into that, which results in people being encouraged and being sent out. Thank you just to everyone and praise God that we have a load of people that have got involved in that. So we made our target, 1,500 salvations. We went above that. Number two, no, our next target was 100 baptisms. So here we didn't quite make it, okay? Now, I went high on baptisms as I was hoping for more in Malawi. However, like I said, we did end up focusing really on salvations in the schools, which then made that target harder. It was a bit hard to know what to expect there for those services and those baptisms, but also where we really did just go very, very, we really focused on schools, we focused on maximum salvations, and it meant that getting the baptisms was a bit harder. But regardless, though, okay, regardless of us not making that 100, aside from the baptism marathon that I did in Poland, okay, which where there was like 63 people waiting to be baptized, you know, for many years of having the gospel preached over there and no churches really to do any baptisms there, we've had our highest yet at 34 this year. That's our highest yet for a year of baptisms that have just come just organically from this church. And on top of that, our previous years, we had people that were, I mean, at the very beginning, just people that weren't maybe part of churches and stuff, or got involved in our church, were ready to get baptized. Now we're just reaching people who are coming to get baptized, people that have got saved, people that, you know, people from your private soul winning, things like that. So for me, it has been still a massive success. It was 30 last year, we made 34 this year. So again, that's been an increase. So it's a success. We haven't made the 100, but 34 I'm still very pleased with. And then goal number three was more personal discipleship. I don't have numbers for this, but we have added several this year to our church that you could probably think of, especially, you know, people that have been coming on Wednesday nights as well and other times that are the result of personal discipleship. And many here have brought people along and brought people that they've got saved in their personal lives and things as well. And from both church soul winning and personal soul winning, many of the baptisms, I was thinking back to some of the baptisms and not to like name names from behind it, but many have been from personal discipleship of people and they don't all hit the ground running as Three to Thrive or maybe even regular services, but they've come and got baptized. That's a great start, isn't it? They're people that hopefully we'll be seeing more of in the future. So we definitely seem to be going in the right direction with that for sure. Next target was number four, higher average attendance. Okay, this is numbers time, okay? So our average in 2023 over 52 Sunday mornings was 51 and Sunday evenings was 47 and Wednesdays 33. Now, just bear in mind, we did have Pastor Roger Jimenez come and preach here, which helped those numbers a bit with like 120 in those services and some 90-odd in the Wednesdays as well. Well, we started the year terribly, okay, with illness. Like I said, we had our lowest turnouts in January. And in the first 6 months of 2024, our average attendance was just 48 Sunday in the morning, 41 in the evening and 33 Wednesday evening. However, the last 6 months saw some better health and attendances. And with that, the last 6 months was 56 averaged in the morning, 46 in the evening, 35 Wednesdays. So it gives us an average over the year of 52 Sunday mornings, 52, sorry, in the Sunday mornings, over 52. And over 52 Sunday mornings, we had 52 in our Sunday mornings. So it was 51 last year, so we beat our Sundays. We didn't on the Sunday evenings, 43 in the Sunday evenings as opposed to 47, but we did on the Wednesday evenings with 34 as opposed to 33. So two of our services, we've beaten our average, right? And which without, like I said, that 120 around the ordination the previous year is an overall increase, okay? So we've had an increase especially with our morning services. And like I say, a lot of what we've been dealing with has been illness, because I had a little tally up before, and we have about 100 church members here that come sort of from, if you looked at a period from sort of every 3 months, say, You'll have about 100 people that will come and regularly, and then we'll be coming the next time. But what we don't have is everyone coming at once, and there is a lot of illness. And this isn't, in case you're thinking, is it just our church? Well, I was talking to a family member the other day, and they were just saying, they've never known anything like it. We're looking back when we were young. I'll get through the school year and maybe have one illness in the whole year. I remember not just the school year, I went through pretty much my whole school life missing a couple of days of school for as a primary school student for 7 years. And now there's just bizarre sicknesses really regularly, and it seems to be everywhere as well. So just bear that in mind as well, that there is an issue with that. There is a problem, whatever that comes from, whether it's to do with COVID, whether there's other reasons, antibiotic issues or whatever else. There is a lot of illness, a lot of sickness around. But we're still raising on our averages where we're adding new people to the church, and we have done over the last year. So for me, that's been an increase, at least on the Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings. And number five was our first missions trip to Malawi. That was one of our goals. We got it organised, we got it done, and it ended up being from the 17th, or we left on the 17th at least. The official dates were Tuesday the 18th of June to Tuesday the 25th of June, and we achieved that. The goal with that was just getting abroad more. We managed to do Holland. We continued our UK cities tour with Chelmsford. We did Sheffield. And then we finished a year with Colchester as well in November. So that was great. We achieved those goals as well. And then number six, our goal was schools or youth groups in the UK and abroad. And however, look, Malawi, yeah, we managed to get to many schools, but there was obvious success there with that. But we had an interesting result with that here, okay? So it is something we've been trying to do and look at, and it's hard to get into schools and stuff here. But on Wednesday evenings, the school teams came to us. Okay, so anyone who has been doing the high street, especially if we were getting out there a bit earlier, they were coming to us. So we had that goal for the year. We didn't get into any schools, but we've had a load of teens from a local school just coming down the high street wanting to hear the gospel. And by all accounts, in Mitcham a bit too, if they get out earlier as well, they've been reaching school kids there as well. When I say school kids, teens, here's a good thing about places like the high street. We're not really getting grief for preaching to them, because you're in the middle of a busy high street, on camera, people everywhere, and they're coming to you, and they're older teens as well, and they want to hear the gospel. And it's not like when you're in a quiet little street somewhere and you're trying to preach to some kids and then people start trying to act like you're a weirdo or something. So it actually has worked pretty well. And I can't give you a tally, but there's a lot of our salvations on Wednesday night have been teenage school kids. And in a way, we have kind of achieved that goal. Just God showed us a way to do that, right? And obviously, point being that kids are receptive, aren't they? So turn to Philippians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Philippians 3, you're turning to. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." So for me, we hit a lot of our targets for last year. So what labor, what business has God got for this house of God this year, okay? We're his husbandry, we're his building. Philippians 3 says this in verse 13. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul said he hasn't seized it all yet, okay? He's going to reach forward. He's going to press on for the big results. So goal number one for 2025 is 2,000 salvations. Okay, I'm going big this year, okay? 2,000 salvations is our goal for 2025. You say, how are we going to add another 500? Well, same as we did last time, okay? We're going to get out there and win some souls. Okay, we're going to get out, win some souls. We're going to keep obviously doing marathons. They are going to be receptive spots, and we are going to do some more high street soul winning. So that's been a real great thing for this year. And it started with Southend and Southend High Street, and just the amount. And again, not everyone has to do this. Again, you're sitting there going, I can't think of anything worse. You don't have to. We still want to knock doors. We still believe we should be knocking doors as well. We're still going to be knocking our local area. But especially with marathons, I want to find some I want to, with each marathon, go somewhere we can get some busy outdoor spots as well, because it's been nothing but receptive for us. Just the sheer quantity of people, and people are a bit less cagey when you're preaching to them in the street rather than when you knock on their door and they're already saying no before you get a chance to say much. So we are going to be doing more high street soul winning. We've got more times than we did when we started last year. We've added Mitcham as a soul winning time as well. But we need everyone to step up, okay, for that. So it's not just, oh, it will just magically come. And like I said, these goals are more important than your personal goals in life, okay? This is people's salvations we're talking about. This is people's eternities. So we need people to step up. Now, again, get this right, obviously, and, you know, we don't try and hammer people and pressure people and everything else. It's got to be your choice and do what you're able to do, but we do need people to step up, okay, to soul winning, more silent partners, okay? We need people to, and again, I'm not talking about people that, you know, people that have had babies or people that are heavily pregnant, stuff like that. But aside from that, we want to lead by example to encourage others in this church, don't we? So when you come to a church like this and it gets to sort of 1:30 and just everyone who's able is going out soul winning, that encourages other people, doesn't it? And that encourages people to think, yeah, I want to get involved. This is what people do, right? When you're hearing of just those numbers turning up in the midweek, and you're hearing people, oh, yeah, I go on this day, I go on that day, it encourages people to want to try and find a way to make a midweek soul winning time. When the marathons, when there's just lots of people turning up, it encourages people to not want to be the people that didn't make that marathon because everyone else is making it. And I'm not saying necessarily just for carnal reasons, just it encourages you, doesn't it? It inspires you, it provokes you to do that. So we need to encourage others with that. Turn to Acts chapter 2, by the way, Acts chapter 2. Paul said that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just want to just keep upping. Every year, just keep getting more and more salvations. And with that, it's going to mean that people, that our groups as well, just to keep plugging away, keep going. And with more salvations should come goal number two, which is more baptisms. Okay, more baptisms. So goal number two for 2025 is 50 baptisms. So I'm looking to get to 50 baptisms. We hit 34 last year. Acts 2 says, then they, verse 41, Acts 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. So we need to encourage those that gladly receive the word. And there are people that you get saved, and you know they're just not interested in anything after salvation, but there are people that really gladly receive the word, don't they? There are people that you get saved and you know, they loved receiving the word. They got lots to talk about. They got lots of questions and stuff. Those people, like, get the number, okay? People like that, they're not funny about giving you the number. And again, I'm not talking about like teens and stuff like that. But the adults and things, get the numbers, try and encourage them. Something I need to remember to do often, you know, it's like, salvation, let's get on for another one. But it's like, spend that little bit of extra time trying to encourage, trying to get them to come along and get baptized and encourage them, you know, try and get the balance and level right between, you know, obviously don't harass people. But you know what? It says that those that gladly receive the word, then in verse 42, they're more likely to go on to continue steadfastly, aren't they? If they gladly receive the word, if we can get them baptized, they're more likely to then be steadfast in the things of God. And obviously, look, we're just looking to see the right direction with people. So, you know, you've got to be careful with that. Don't be like impatient with new converts or people in your personal lives and stuff. If you get them saved and you just see them doing that bit more for God, maybe they're starting to turn up to a church service here and there, they've got baptized, that's showing a good direction, isn't it? And that's what we're looking for. And that's how they're added to our church, really, because really, ultimately, they're a member of our church by baptism, aren't they? So it's baptism that makes someone a member of our church. So we need to encourage, we need to get those souls baptized, don't we? Okay, and then they're more likely to go on to continue steadfastly and in the doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. And to do that, we need to achieve number three this year. They all kind of link to each other. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Goal number three for our church for 2025 is more welcoming to visitors, okay? I want us to be more welcoming to visitors. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And that should go without saying, whether you know that someone is one of us or not, okay? If someone comes into our church, if they come into the building, the ushers are letting them in, so that means that they, you know, there's no reason for us not to be courteous to them, okay? Then they should be we should be courteous to them. We should be pitiful. We should be courteous to people that come into our church. And this, for me, look, I'm not saying it's bad for that, look. However, I still see it as sometimes a bit of a problem in our church. I still see people come in, and sometimes I'm looking around, I'm seeing people hanging around with a tea or coffee. You have stayed behind after a service, they got a tea or coffee, and they just stand there on their own, completely ignored. And, you know, I still have a whole church to pastor, and often it's me that's having to go and make small talk and stuff, and that should be that's a job for everyone in our church, okay? And just to get it right with that, okay, of course, look, it's not welcoming to do the opposite. It's not welcoming to be in someone's face. And there are people that, and you've got to gauge this, right? Because there are people that don't really want to chat. And some people, they come to a church for the first time and they would prefer not to. And we don't want to force them either, right? I try and intercept them at the door at least. But again, I'm not going to force them to stand and have like a 10-minute conversation with me if they clearly want to go, right? So read the signals with people, and we don't want to harass people, don't interrogate people. You don't have to start getting all spiritual. We used to have like weirdos here. It'd be like, you know, asking the first-time visitor when they're going to go soul winning and stuff like that. Please don't do that. Don't ask people if they're soul winning, if they're new to our churches. They'll get that in their own time, okay? And then also just things like simple manners, a smile, just simple small talk. You know, look around maybe just instead of, and I get it, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but sometimes we can get absorbed in our own conversations. And just especially when there's new people, we notice new people coming into the church, just have a glance around and see if they're on their own or not, right? And if they are, and if no one's talking to them, but they seem to want it. Because some people come to church because they want fellowship. Some people come to a church, they want to talk to people, they want to be around other believers. And then if they're just ignored, are they really going to want to come back to that church? And then they're going to end up at the false church up the road where the fake smiles are there. And they're just, you know, they're like, we'll get our claws into this one, you know. So, again, we want to get the balance right with it. But and just a reminder, unless you're asked to, okay, please don't preach the gospel to people that are new here. Okay, unless you ask to. Okay, there's reasons. We sort that out between myself and the ushers at the back. And there's a few reasons for it, right? You know, there's some criteria that goes in, okay? Sometimes you don't know if they've already been preached to, for example. You don't know if they're someone's supposed convert, whether they're saved or not. You know, who then it's between them to try and check up on them. If they're coming to church, great. Yeah, that's a good start. They could check their salvation a bit further down the line. What the situation is with them. Things like, you know, their criteria. Maybe it might be someone that we think they might respond well to. That we think, okay, I might ask that person to talk to them. Maybe it won't be someone who's got families to look after and jobs to do after the service, you know, that can then be affected by that. So just let us organise it, yeah, at the back. And please don't just be like, right, new person. So do you know for sure you're going to heaven one day? It's like they've just been asked that. Or they've literally just been preached to outside. Or whatever, you know, we let us organise that. The ushers generally find out how they know, you know, how they've come here and everything else. We can work out whether and who's going to preach the gospel to them, okay? Just instead be welcoming, small talk, offer a drink, food, etc. But like I said, be sensitive to the person who just wants to be on their own, okay? And then if we're successful with that, if we're friendly, we're welcoming to people that come to this church, it should help. Number four, turn to Psalm 27. Goal number four for 2025 is higher average attendance. I want to obviously increase our average attendance. So like I said, we averaged out higher on the Sunday mornings and Wednesday mornings. But I want to get all of it higher this year. I want the Sunday evenings as well. And of course, look, part of that is subject to what seems to be more and more weird illnesses around. But what encourages others is the example set, okay? It's the not forsaking but exhorting, okay? That's what encourages others to be in church, is seeing the example set by the other people here. So we need our members to be like David in Psalm 27 and verse 4. In Psalm 27, 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Okay, and David's just saying, look, I want to be there as much as I can. I want to dwell in the house of God. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to inquire in his temple. Okay, and you know, look, that's where it's going on. It's in the house of God. And it benefits us too. It says in verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Excuse me, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So we come to church for multiple reasons, okay? Obeying God, we receive protection from him though. We get victories, we come to sacrifice ourselves to him and sing praise. But just being here encourages others. And that's, you know, I'm not going to go there, but that's what Hebrews 10, because we've been there many times. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that's what it's really talking about. It's talking about not, it's you're discouraging other people when you're not there. You're discouraging other members of the church by not being in church. So ultimately, it has a negative effect when we're not there. But it's not just it encourages others, it encourages me as well. You know, when you look out and there's like a busy church, and sometimes, you know, when we're hitting like, you know, when we've been getting like close to 70s and stuff, and we're like 68 in a month, it's encouraging. Like, yeah, you know, lots of people in the house of God. These are people that are going to hear the word of God all together. Get out there. The Spirit's amongst us. You know, it's great hearing the singing when there's lots of people there. It encourages me, and I need encouragement, you know. And so does everyone else here. You know, we need the encouragement because it's a hard job that we're doing for the Lord. Because we're not fun club church. We're not a social club church. We're a proper church, and that means that we've got a lot of people against us, a lot of people that want to discourage us, a lot of ways we're discouraged, and we need to encourage each other. So to get those averages up, it depends on everyone in our church, doesn't it? To find a way, to make a way to be there. And the end result is more work done and more souls saved. So it's got to be worth it, right? If there's a way of being in church, God wants you here. And it's here that you're then sent out, isn't it? And turn to Acts 1 for number 5. Acts chapter 1. Goal number 5 for 2025 is another missions trip. So at least another missions trip. So in Acts 1, okay, before Jesus goes up into heaven, we see that great commission. So Acts 1. And verse 7, Acts 1, verse 7, it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power. Look, we don't know when what's going on. We don't know when the end's coming, okay? We might have some inklings, some ideas. We might be like, oh, the pestilence is increasing, okay? But we don't really know when the end is coming, okay? So what do? We get out there and we preach the gospel, don't we? We just keep going and we keep grafting and we keep working. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay, and you know what? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, okay? And that the Holy Ghost will help you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because that is ultimately our goal, isn't it? Right? And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. God wants the gospel to go to the uttermost part of the earth. And for me, the obvious starting point isn't North Korea. The obvious starting point to go and preach the gospel isn't a missions trip to China. Or you know, it's not a missions trip to Saudi Arabia. The obvious place is receptive places, isn't it? That's where we can just have the greatest effect. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not to say that the gospel shouldn't go out to all of the world. But for me, where we prioritise, we're going to prioritise receptive places, right? And I did say last year that we're hoping to do many more trips to surrounding nations too. We've been to Malawi, and of course we're still a growing church, okay? And one missions trip last year, within a year of being independent, was a great accomplishment, okay? That was a great thing that I didn't expect right at when I was, you know, when this was a satellite church and we're looking to become independent, I didn't think, right, we're going to be suddenly on missions trips. But then, you know, God opened some doors with that. But this year, I definitely 100% want to go to South Africa. We've got a group there. They're faithfully soul winning. I feel like I should have gone really last year. I definitely want to go this year. And there's many people who want to come to that. We'll make it into, like I said, I put something on our group chat just to get some interest, see how much interest there is. That I'm going to go anyway, whether I go on my own or not, just because those guys... I want to go out there. I want to encourage that. I want to try. The thing with there as well, there are others there too. There are other people in that area, even in that sort of northern region of South Africa, who I'm hoping we can inspire to get involved with the work there as well. So I want to get like a bigger work going there, and it's a great spot there as well, and it is close to then other adjoining nations as well. So if we could one day have a church there, that would be a great logistical spot for a church, to be able to then reach adjoining nations as well, in that northern area of South Africa. Africa being at least not just southern, but especially many southern nations of Africa being so receptive to the gospel, being that obviously where there's less Islam and more Christianity in inverted commas, it's receptive, and it's very receptive there. But aside from that, if there is enough interest and there's enough people that want to go, then returning to Malawi is also an option this year as well. And again, you know, both really receptive places. Malawi, you know, we're just going into schools and preaching, like we said, to anywhere from 30 to 70 teens at once who were cheering when I said, you know, we're going to tell you how you can be sure you're going to heaven one day. And so, when we had the whole group together before we split them up into smaller groups, we had like, whatever, 300, 500 kids just cheering when they're being told they're going to hear the gospel. I mean, I remember making a joke before. You went into a school and said that here, you might have tomatoes thrown at you instead. But they want to hear the gospel, right? And if we can get if there's enough interest, we'll do another trip there. Definitely going to do a South Africa trip. So what I put on our group chat is just a complete ballpark, just so you can just have an idea. But if you want more details, come and talk to us. Talk to, obviously, you know, Huna planned a lot of the Malawi trip. Talk to myself, talk to anyone that went to Malawi if you want to hear some experiences. And then same with South Africa. I've been there, Adam's been there, Huna's been to South Africa. He was in the Western Cape we went before. And we've obviously been soul winning. Jack was out there. We've done some soul winning in South Africa already, and we can tell you about that as well. So if you want to hear, because like people have their own ideas, don't they? Like, oh, South Africa, isn't everyone just getting held up at gunpoint because I saw some YouTube videos, you know? Or Malawi, you know, it's like, are you going to be forced to eat like mice on the side of the road or something? You won't be forced, okay? There is an option there. When in Rome, yeah. look, we, you know, that they're the doors that we're, you know, we see open right now. So just let me know if you want to go. Let me know if it's realistic, okay? And if it's like not really, just go, well, I don't know how realistic it is. I'd like to, but I don't know if I can afford it. Just be honest. And if I have enough interest, I think, okay, there's enough people to make this trip worthwhile doing planning and organising, putting the money into it, it's on, yeah? Okay, so definitely we want to get abroad again this year. And what we need then, we need people who are willing and able to get abroad to the uttermost part of the earth, don't we? People that are willing and able and will make it happen, right? Like I said, if the Holy Ghost wants to go there, it's like he's craving to go there. He's in you just going, just get there. And there are ways you can do it. I know it's not for everyone. I know there's family reasons, other things that might make it difficult, but hopefully we have enough people to make it worthwhile. And then with going places like South Africa and Malawi, it helps us fulfill our sixth goal. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18 for goal number six, which is for 2025 to reach more youth, okay? I want to reach the youth more, and that's not just abroad here as well. Verse 15 said, and they brought unto him, verse 15 of Luke 18:15 says, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Let me tell you who the most likely to receive the kingdom of God as a little child is children. Okay, children. And they're more likely to receive it as children. And we've seen ways of reaching at least the teenage kids here by being in public places at earlier times. So there is that option. There's that option to be out preaching the gospel, being out in public places where it seems to just be a lot easier to do that, doesn't it? You're lit up in a high street. You don't have the people that want to find something to attack you for preaching the gospel. They don't really have that excuse now because you're just standing in a high street, especially. And here's another thing that also it needs for that. It needs people to make the soul winning times. But it also needs some of the kids to get involved as well. You know, and when kids are out, it just makes you more confident. You know, sometimes when I'm out and I've got my kids and we're in the high street and someone's preaching to maybe a couple of teens, especially like if they preach to a couple of teen girls or something, I'll just send one of my kids over to go and stand with them as well. Just because it just looks better and you're less likely to get grief. We haven't really got grief for it. apparently the school claiming that we're teaching them something else is because there's like a Catholic school that are, you know, obviously not happy that we're getting their kids saved there. But we're going to keep preaching to kids, trying to get them saved. And, you know, if we can't get into the schools, well, they'll come to us, but we need to make those soul winning times. And it needs people to make them with that as well, a missions trip. Okay, because the missions trips, the more the merrier. There's a lot. The schools are easy to get into in Malawi. They're easy to get into in South Africa. If people come, we'll get into school. We'll just go to more schools, go to more classes. So again, it's down to individuals, right? So these are our church goals, just to remind you. Number one, 2,000 salvations this year. Number two, 50 baptisms this year. Number three, more welcoming to visitors this year. Number four, higher average attendance. Number five, another missions trip at least. And number six, to reach more youth. So those goals, like I said, they've got to come above our personal goals this year, don't they? They're important than your personal. They're important, more important than any of my personal goals and anyone else's personal goals this year. Is the church's goals? Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 3:9 said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." But maybe some of you have some personal goals that will help you along the way. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with personal goals, but do you know what the best personal goals are? Ones that will help those goals, those things for God. The obvious ones are Bible reading, aren't they? Bible reading. And maybe you've never read the Bible through. Read it through this year. Maybe you read it through once a year. Why don't you try reading it through twice a year and make it half hour a day you read it? Maybe, you know, maybe it's Bible memory. Maybe it's prayer time. Maybe you need to set some goals, some New Year's targets for prayer time and actually setting aside time for prayer and getting more regular prayer in. Maybe it's church attendance. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's tithes and offerings. All these things. All of it will help towards our goals as a church, won't it? Every single one of those things will. But so will maybe less obvious things. So maybe being healthier. You know, do you know that maybe being healthier will help towards our goals as a church? Maybe you're less likely to get as ill. Maybe you're less likely to miss services, less likely to miss soul winning. Maybe you're more likely to be able to do more likely to be able to make a missions trip, things like that. Maybe more likely to serve in the long run as well if you're healthier. Cutting out some bad habits that pull you out of the things of God, that make you do less for God. Getting up earlier in the morning to be able to get more done in the day, to be able to get more done, to be able to get your Bible reading in, undistracted, your prayer time, everything else. Maybe you've got some parenting goals. Some parenting goals, which means that we're more likely to end up with kids in the church, you know, doing things and serving God in the future. Maybe you've got some goals as a spouse for a happier marriage, for a happier home life, and again, which the knock-on effect is you're able to do more for God together. Whatever it is, whatever your goals are, just don't forget that your most important goals have to be, therefore, to labour with God in 2025, because that's our job, isn't it? You're saved, you've got a job to do, you got given a job the second you got saved. Verse 9 said, "For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." And I hope that you think about that for this year to come. And on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for all the great labourers we have here, Lord. Thank you for all those people that are maybe, you know, growing into labourers here as well, Lord. Thank you for all the new people you've blessed us with over the last year, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for helping us to achieve what we have, Lord. We know that we couldn't do anything without you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all the achievements we got this last year. It's an honour to get those achievements, to get that work done for you. But help us to do more now this year, Lord. Help us to reach forward to those goals that are in front of us, Lord. Help us to have a great 2025. Help everyone here to really prioritise the work that you have for us here, to not just think of church as, you know, a sort of tick box thing that you just go to and that's it, but to think of church as the place where we come to serve you, we come to work with you, Lord, to ultimately get more people saved is the end result. Help us to understand that many things go into that, Lord, to appreciate all the other jobs and tasks and roles and things that go into that end result, Lord. Help us to all work hard at that this year, and help us, Lord, to have a great year. Help everyone here to have a great year as well, Lord, and to just have a year where they feel fulfilled and feel like they're you know, doing what they're meant to do in life, Lord, and that's with you at the centre of their year. And help us all get home safe, son, today. In Jesus' name, for all of this, amen.